Hello and welcome to SideQuest, a Knights of the Hardcover podcast discussing all things fantasy news, whether it be media, whether it be books, whether it be video games. We're discussing everything that has to do with fantasy news. Joining me today, as usual, are Chris Lauer and Zach Misick.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
And as always, I'm your Jarl of the West Coast, Brandon Castle. Today, we have a few news stories coming out. We want to talk about recent books that have come out in the last few weeks, mostly in September. We wanted to talk about some video games that are upcoming and then just kind of the general landscape of all the fantasy shows that we have out there right now. So it's going to be a pretty casual. We're going to do this every other week. The weeks that we're not doing our normal podcasts, we'll be releasing a news episode like this. So you know, keep up to date with us and you'll know everything going on with fantasy news. So first we're going to start off with Chris and see what you got.
All right. Yeah. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is Brandon Sanderson. If you can believe it, I got some Brandon Sanderson news.
What a surprise.
and this, I feel like it's pretty big news. It's another Kickstarter that he came out with. I guess it's some sort of, it's in association with Brotherwise Games. But they're just character figurines for the Stormlight Archive books. But I think the most notable thing about this is that the depictions are considered canon. So what these characters look like in these figurines, according to Brandon, is what, you know, moving forward, this is what they say they look like. This is a canon visualization. These are the clothes they wear. And all that kind of thing. And, you know, it looks like the Kickstarter is doing well. It's got about 2.5 million on it right now. Looks like they've hit a lot of stretch goals. Have you guys heard about this or seen anything about it?
Only 2.5 million. That's it. Last one did like what 40 million or something like that.
I don't remember what it ended up getting to that for the book there.
I think it ended up reaching, oh, here we go. 42 million.
42 million. Yeah. This is chump. This is easy.
Yeah, easy. Yeah, I did see that come out, and I'm a huge, I like having toys and figurines and stuff around, so this was really intriguing to me until I figured out that you had to paint them yourself, and I was pretty much out on that after it, but
There's some you can get painted. This is part of the pack.
Yeah, you gotta pay for it, though, that's for sure. It's like, it gets a little pricey when you get the painted figurines, so.
Yeah.
Was there any that you saw that, like, really surprised you, like, looked different than your headcanon did?
I would say, I don't think there's any that look different than my headcanon. I was always curious, and we've talked about, what does shard plate look like, you know? Because there's a lot of fan art out there, or sometimes the shard plate's extremely bulky, and sometimes it's almost unnaturally slim for, like, metal plate. And I think this came down about how I thought. It looks pretty sleek, but it still looks like, you know, mail. I thought it looked pretty good.
Zach, you buying them?
No, I'm not. Terravangian kind of looks kind of like how I imagine Terravangian would look. Yeah. I think the coolest one that I really like is Kaladin wearing the carapace.
Oh yeah,
that red carapace. I think that looks a lot cooler than how I imagined it would be. Because in my mind, it looked pretty like dorky. So I think that's like my favorite one. My least favorite one is like Kaladin's uniform, like that blue. I'm not a big fan of those uniforms. It looks kind of like Revolutionary War-ish.
Yeah.
Very on brand, Zach. Very on brand for you to pick your favorite and your least favorite to both be Kaladin. You're nothing if not consistent. Only be me. I liked Kaladin's shard plate. I think that one looked really cool, like from book four. I thought that one looked sick.
Ooh, where's that one at?
It might be lower down on the page.
I can look it up here. Overall, they all look really good.
I thought the Sveth one with Night Blood was probably the coolest.
That one is super cool.
Very badass. In my head, I always kind of imagined like a young kid. I don't know why. I know Sveth like isn't a young kid, but I always imagined he was so small and scrawny. So seeing him like as a badass with Night Blood leaking out the investiture is really cool.
Very sick.
Yeah.
All the Sveth stuff looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but I agree. I also kind of agree with Zach. I thought the uniforms looked a little meh, but for the soldiers, I guess, at least for Bridge 4. But
yeah,
overall, I liked all of them. And the shard plate especially was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Anything else you guys had on these figurines or anything about them?
If you're looking for a Christmas present for me, any listeners out there, you know.
But I have to paint them too?
Yeah, I need them painted. I'm not doing that myself. So if you're going to send unpainted ones, don't bother.
You're just going to send them right back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't accept bad gifts.
I wouldn't hate playing this game someday. It seems like it might be fun. But then I guess if it's anything like Warhammer, you really do got to like invest a lot of money into these figurines, I think.
So yeah, the game's not out yet, correct? That's no. Still in development, and then they're going to build that out later. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Depending on what the game looks like, I'll probably end up buying them, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I thought it was really cool. I think the coolest thing about it is that these are canon depictions of these characters. And so it's like, this is what they look like. And I think that's kind of neat. But yeah. The other thing I'm bringing to the side quest today is a book recommendation. This is a book that I read maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And it is called, it's called Stardust. And it's a book by Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman, I think most recently you might have heard of Neil Gaiman as the guy who did Sandman, which is a new Netflix series. Or also maybe American Gods. That got made into a series too. This is the second Neil Gaiman book I've ever read. I read the first American Gods, or I tried to at least. But I really enjoyed Stardust. It's about a half-human, half-fairy kid who he lives in the village called The Wall, and there's just a big wall. But on the other side of the wall is fairy. So one side's England, the other side's fairy, and he's a half-fairy, and he sees a shooting star fall into fairy, and he basically tells this girl he has a crush on that he's going to go get that star for her. And if he does, she said that she'll give him whatever he wants. So he goes and gets this star, and it's a nice little adventure. A lot of twists and turns. Well done book. If you're looking for a one and done fantasy book, I think this is a great one. It's clever writing. You don't have to worry about a sequel or anything like that. It's a good palate cleanser type of fantasy book.
Yeah. Neil Gaiman's great. He's very accessible for people that don't love like fantasy. I feel like he makes it really easy to read. And it's not like the general fantasy, you know, prolonged world building and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's pretty concise in his writing. So I haven't read that one, but I've read like American Gods and Good Omens and stuff like that. So definitely have to check that one out. You said it was in fairy. Is that similar to the Fae from Name of the Wind?
Similar, yes. I think
was Flora there or whatever.
No Florian. But there are maidens of mystical power and whatnot. So that is as well.
Do they know? Most importantly, do they know the touch of 10,000 hands?
They don't know the touch of 10,000 hands.
Oh man,
this guy is not nearly as good as Quote.
All right, cool. That's a good recommendation. Yeah. Are you gonna start reading more Neil Gaiman now that you've read this one?
I might pick American Gods back up sometime. I don't know why. I don't remember if I finished it or if I finished it and I just didn't care too much about it. I don't remember, but it's definitely one I want to give another shot. I've watched Good Omens and I like that, so I wouldn't mind checking that one out either.
Yeah, his Nordic mythology book was really good. I really liked that one.
What's that one?
He's basically just like recounts the histories of like Zeus, or not Zeus, of like Thor and Loki and that kind of mythology.
Do you know what it's called?
I think it's just called like Norse.
Yeah, it's like Norse.
Wow, it's just called Norse mythology. That's it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a good one.
That may be a fun one.
Yep, pretty quick, some fun stories. I really enjoyed it. I read that one, and then the only other one I read was American Gods, but I didn't really care for it that much.
Gotcha.
I thought it was a solid book, but yeah, he's not like my favorite author by any means. But people pretty diehard Neil Gaiman fans. We probably should have read Norse mythology before we read these Shadow of the Gods book. That probably would have been helpful.
It was cool. They definitely borrowed a lot of stuff. You could tell from reading it.
Who borrowed what? Neil Gaiman borrowed stuff?
they both borrowed from like mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
We're calling you out, John Gwynn.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's a great one. That was Stardust is what it's called?
Stardust, yep.
All right, we'll add to the list to read.
It's an older one, 97. So this is Game of Thrones era.
Oh, yeah. I've like really never heard of that before. It's interesting. Okay, well, we'll move on to the next topic for today. I'll cover a couple here. One that I'm very excited about. It's been delayed like 50 times now. They announced it back in, I believe, the beginning of 2020, but there's been production issues. There's been several things that they're saying they're trying to get everything right, which if that's the case, you know, all for it. But it's the Harry Potter Free Roam game. Hogwarts Legacy. They have a release date for it. They released the trailers for it. We have everything for it. It sounds like you're going to be able to do a lot of things. It's set back like 200-ish years before the events of Harry Potter. So you're kind of dealing with some older things in the world of Harry Potter. And so you get to like hang out in Hogwarts. You get to choose your house. It's free roam, like I said. So there's a lot of like side quests. That's the name of the podcast. And things like that. And so it should be a really exciting game. I'm a huge Red Dead Redemption, Elden Ring, Skyrim fan. So Free Roam is always my favorite kind of game. So I'm really looking forward to this. They set the release date now for February 10th of 2023. So about 5 months from now, they're set to release it. This has moved, like I said, several times. So I'm hoping
it's supposed to be the holiday season.
Well, right? it was supposed to be, and then now they've moved it again back to February. Yeah. So they're missing the holiday season now.
Tough luck for us Nintendo Switch fans, because there's not even a release date for that. That one got pushed back so much that we don't have a release date.
Is that the only system you have, Zach?
They were gonna do it on that.
Yeah. The only system I have is a Switch, and it was all supposed to release at the same time, but last I've heard, it got pushed back, you know, or everything got pushed back to February 10th or whatever, except for like the Switch. They haven't announced the release date for that. So,
well, as long as they hit Xbox or PlayStation, that's all that's important. So,
yeah, it might never come to the Switch.
Yeah, I know it's really something that a lot of people have been looking forward to, and it's nice to have like a firm date, hopefully.
Yeah.
Also, they've confirmed a few things about the game. You know, there's going to be, you know, obviously this is before Voldemort and Death Eaters and everything like that, and Grindelwald and everything. So it's going to be a whole new story.
Thank God.
J.K. Rowling didn't write the story, but she was involved in like decision making and things like that. So she did have a little bit of say in it. A lot of travel is going to be done with a broomstick, but there is not going to be any Quidditch that you can play. So that was another thing they confirmed, which sucks. But
thank God again.
Yeah, I'm not like, happy with that. That's a good decision.
Do you guys remember? I can't remember what it was called. It was like a Quidditch game. It might have been for like PS2 or something like that. Did you ever play that game? It was FIFA style Quidditch game, and so fun.
It can't be anything like real Quidditch then. They must have changed the rules significantly for this PlayStation game.
Why do you say that?
Because the rules of Quidditch are horrible and they don't make sense.
How dare you? They don't make sense. This snitch makes absolutely no sense as far as a sporting, like a sporting.
Yeah,
you can tell J.K. Rowling's never ever engaged with sports in her entire life. Quidditch is the biggest plot hole in the whole series, a series that I love.
Yeah, because really, it's just seeker against seeker. No one else on the court matters, right, or on the field matters at all. It's just like whoever gets the snitch wins. Yay! And so. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you have beaters too, which basically their entire job is just to beat the shit out of people for once again, no reason.
Wild concept.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this is probably I'm more excited for this game than, gosh, any game in like 10 years. Like I was pretty excited for GTA 5, Breath of the Wild. I was pretty excited for those games, but I'm so excited for this. Almost so much so that it can only let me down. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and I think that's been the biggest reason for the delays is like the expectations are so high for this. If they don't nail it, it's going to be disastrous, you know? So hopefully that means they're taking their time and it's not just everything's gone to shit you know, some other games that have been delayed.
What house do you guys want to be sorted in? Because I've been avoiding most
all day. Always.
I feel like I don't like Hufflepuff, but it seems like they almost have like the coolest room. What's it called? Like home base?
The common room.
If you think Hufflepuff has the coolest common room,
I feel like in this game looks really cool.
Zach, you're such a Hufflepuff.
Who has the best room then?
No, I agree. I think Hufflepuff is pretty cool. In this game, who has the best room? It's probably Hufflepuff. But I really like Ravenclaw's too, and that's who I would pick. I'd pick to be Ravenclaw. I gotta say, if anybody's is the worst, it's Gryffindor's, and maybe that's just because we know it, we've seen it, but
yeah. I agree with that.
It's basically just a living room with like dormitories off of it. That's about it. Yeah. Like Slytherin
seems really small.
Slytherin's also kind of sucks too because it's just like it's so dark and damp.
Yeah.
And like
very
an office building. It's like a corporate office building.
Yeah. So. It's definitely between Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff.
Yeah. Well, Ravenclaw's it's so big. It seemed. Or I don't know, from the video I watched, seemed like Ravenclaw had
I think it's really big.
Three
I think it's
huge,
like clean. Yeah. And you have to like solve a riddle, I think, any time you enter it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so looking forward to that game. It's also awesome because, you know, my fiance who doesn't play video games is looking forward to this and like wants to play along with me. So it's cool to have, you know, open up the world to some other video game players. And I just got done with Elden Ring. Like officially, I've played probably 1,000 hours of it, and
congrats.
I've beat it like 5 times. So I'm ready for something different. That's not that now. So, the other thing I wanted to talk about was just a change to ebook readers out there. Saw an article come through about the way that ebook returns are going to work through Amazon on your Kindle is changing. So where previously, if you bought a book, you had 7 days to return it, regardless of how much you've read. You can read the whole thing in 3 days, return it, get full refund, no questions asked. Now they're going to start monitoring that. And so within that 7 days, if you've read more than 10% of the book, they're not going to let you return it, or you're going to have to do a special request to return it, which likely will be denied unless you have good cause for needing to return it. So just for you Kindle readers out there, if you are buying ebooks and that has been your go-to way of not paying for books, it might be time to start using the library. So just a heads up there, Amazon cracking down on all of us poor book readers or Kindle readers, I guess.
Yeah, I'm surprised they let it go on that long. So I think that was one of those like TikTok hacks, and then people are really taking advantage of it. And I think it was like the publishers were the one getting mad because they lose money if you do that. So I think they were the ones who were like getting screwed.
Yeah. I mean, it really doesn't affect Amazon at all. They take small margins from that kind of stuff. And so, you know, if they sell the book or they don't, they don't lose any money, but the publisher definitely does. So, and the
can you even return,
I think it's fair.
Can you return physical books? If you bought a physical book at Barnes and Noble, can you show up 2 weeks later and be like, I want to return this? Like, I feel like you probably can't.
Probably. Yeah. You have to. I mean, it's probably got, if there's any damage on it at all, I'm assuming they don't, but.
I would say the damage would be if there's like a crease in there, no way. You know, if you can tell that it's been used, then I would say they probably wouldn't. But I think that's fair. 10% of the book. I mean, maybe you can quibble with 10%, maybe say like maybe 20, but it seems like a fair policy.
I mean, 20 by 10% in, you know, if you're going to like the book or not. In general, it's usually the case. So,
yeah.
Once again, TikTok ruining everything for everyone and is the bane of evil in all of the world. So cool. Just update for those that are Kindle readers. Zach, what do you got for us this week?
All right. I got some new book releases that have come out either this month or the last couple months. And these are the books that are at least on my radar. Let me know if you guys agree with them or not. Probably the most high profile one is Fairy Tale by Stephen King. That one just came out last week. And given the name, it is very fairy tale-y. It seems to be getting good reviews. The also kind of releasing that same week is the new Locked Tomb series book. It's the third book is called Nona the Ninth, and it's by this New Zealand author named Tamsin Murr. I read the first one, Gideon the Ninth, and I really enjoyed it. It's a good series. It's like described as like the log line of it is lesbian necromancers in space. And it is kind of like a fun, it's a fun like space opera.
Whoa.
That sounds awesome.
it's like very like gothic horror, but there's some like contemporary humor like mixed in with it too. So it's definitely like not for everyone, but if you need kind of like a fun, different gothic horror, necromancers in space, it's a good one. I'm on hold for the second book right now. The third one just came out a couple weeks ago, and I think they're planning on it being a four book series. So we're getting to the end, but I've heard good things about it.
Cool.
Yeah. The next one came out, Upgrade by Blake Crouch. That's another like more like science fiction. It's about like DNA mutation. I'm a fan of like Blake Crouch. He's done like the Wayward Pine series, and he's done a few others that are pretty good. This one's like worth checking out, but I don't think it says as great as some of his other books. A series that was
Blake Crouch, right? You said.
Yep, he did like Dark Matter, which is really good.
Yeah.
And
oh, I need to read that.
Recursions, Recursions was really good too. So this is like his latest one, and it's good. I read it like in a day. It's a quick read.
Yeah, Recursion and Dark Matter are awesome books. So definitely will read this one.
Yeah, yep, it's good. The next one, it's been going on for a few months. I've not kept up with it at all, but the Sega comic book series made its return this year. Have you guys been following up with that at all?
No, for that one, I'm waiting until the omnibus or the compendium comes out, just so I can just buy it all at once. It gets too hard to week to week it.
Yeah.
Read the first one, but that's it.
Yeah. Yep. I have not caught up, but that's back after a few year hiatus.
Are you hearing good things about it?
No, I guess it's never even crossed my radar. Like naturally, I've always had to like seek it out. And I've just been kind of forgetting about it, that it returned. But just when I was like looking up new releases, it kind of popped up for that. The last one, it's a guilty pleasure. It's for me, it has nothing to do with sci-fi or fantasy, but the new Thursday Murder Club book came out last week. This is the third book. It is like one of those like cozy murder mysteries. It's about like a group of retired like British people in a retirement community trying to solve like crime and murder. Really fun series.
So it's only murders in the building, but
yeah, book series? Exactly. It's that same vibe. It's that cozy, funny. You're not too stressed out, but you're like curious about what's going on. There's like a mystery involved, and it seems like it's gonna be one of those book series that will have like a new episode or a new book come out like once a year, you know? So the third one just dropped, and I'm excited to get to that because the first two were really fun.
Nice.
I have never been less interested in a book than that last one, but the rest of them were good. Good call outs. Definitely going to be getting an upgrade here soon. And I believe we're covering Fairy Tale too in like a month for this podcast too. So keep an eye out for that one. Read it before we cover it.
And watch out for the Thursday Murder Club book club.
Yeah, well, you guys can start your own pod for that one.
That'll be on one of the side quests that you're not here, BJ.
I read Anthony Horowitz for you guys, and that was about all I can handle.
You know what?
Interesting use of you guys.
I read Anthony Horowitz for you, Zach.
Hey, he has a new book coming out or came out last month for. He wrote like a James Bond book. I thought about including it on my list, but I didn't. But I guess I mentioned it now, so it is on my list.
I'd be interested in that. I did not like the two that I read from him.
He was the Alex Rider guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I think another one of his books is coming out, the one where he like inserts himself into the story. I think that a new one of those, like the fourth book, is coming out, I think, this holiday season.
Hard pass on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What else you got for us, Zach?
All right. My next one, another new book that'll be coming out here in November, is Brandon Sanderson's final book of Mistborn Era 2 called The Alloy of Law. And starting this last week here, he's been releasing sample chapters, which is really fun. It's like this fun tradition that Brandon does where leading up to a big book release, like basically any book in the Cosmere, he will like release a chapter a week leading up to the release dates. And like I said, it comes out November 15th. I think it's a really fun tradition. I can see why people might not like it, because essentially if you do read it, you basically already read like a third of the entire book. So I can see why people wouldn't like it, but I think it's really fun to, you can really dive deep in these chapters and kind of sit with them and think about it. I don't know. What do you guys think about his kind of basically releasing the first third of his books before release?
I like it. As a book reader and a huge Brandon Sanderson fan, I like not having to wait for the book to be released to start reading it, but also I also don't like it because it's constantly just like a tease, you know, like you get in a chapter and then that's as far as you can go. I'm not a person that likes to read things like broken up like that. I like to just like sit down and crank out 4 hours of reading at a time. So in that regard, I don't like it. Also, I don't like that people start releasing spoilers immediately on that stuff. And like, you know, on Reddit or on Twitter or wherever, you might run into spoiler threads specifically about those chapters. So I hate that too, because I'm trying to do like a reread right now. But overall, I mean, I'm never going to argue about getting chapters early.
Yeah, I think you bring up some good points, Brandon, about spoilers and the week-to-week aspect of it can be annoying. To add to that, you know, one thing that can kind of suck about it is you're reading this book week to week, and then the book comes out. What do? Do you start back from the beginning, which you've already read, or do you start from where you left off? When you start from where you left off, it almost feels like you're reading two different books, because the first book was this week-to-week experience. Then the second book is you're reading it all at one time. But I would say all in all, I love it. I think it's a great idea. And you don't have to read these chapters. You know, if you don't like it, don't read it. From Brandon's perspective, I think it's nothing but positive vibes. Other than, I guess, the spoilers, but just stay off the Reddit.
Yeah, Brandon is the most like reader-centric author out there right now. I mean, he's doing everything he can to make his readers happy. And it's really cool just to see like small things like this is kind of like a gift to readers because of all the support he gets from them. So I love his connection with readers, but you know, sometimes I'm like, just release a book. I want to just have it all in my hands at once so I can just read it. But
his company is such a well-oiled machine that releasing these chapters has become expected. No other author could pull something like this off, and he does it as if it's, you know, like you said, just a little gift to the fans, you know.
Right after he just wrote like five books for us, the little gift to the fans too, so
literally.
Yeah. Which I'm pumped about, and after my new reread of this Mistborn, the second era, I'm so excited for this new book. I mean,
yeah,
I really, the second reread definitely shined like a brighter light on these books. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm not done yet. I'm about halfway through the third Mistborn era too. So I feel like I'm timing it perfectly. By the time I finish this, I'm going to be able to bust out like six of his weekly chapters. And the next thing I know, the book's going to be here. So I'm ready.
Yeah, November 15th couldn't come fast enough. I just pre-ordered the book today. So
hell yeah,
looking forward to it. All right, so that's all the segments or all of kind of the news from today. I did just want to touch on like one last topic here. Obviously, there has been a wave of content that's come our way with House of Dragon. We got House of Dragon. We have the Rings of Power. There's She-Hulk. There's Andor. There's 50 other Star Wars properties that are coming out. A lot of other Marvel properties. Witcher's coming out. We got Wheel of Time. So a lot of these are centered around books or are inspired by books. I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on these. What do you think about a lot of these shows coming out? Kind of what's your favorite so far?
Favorite so far? Oh, man. It's a tie right now for me. I know that's kind of the cheap way out, but Rings of Power and Hot D, House of the Dragon, I think are tied for me for my favorite right now. It's hard to say because they're both good in completely different reasons. As far as fantasy shows go, I feel like you can't get much more different than House of the Dragon and the Rings of Power, which makes them very complimentary and good for the fact that, Brandon, I feel like you might have been alluding to, maybe is there too much? I think there might be too much, but I think that these two can survive together.
Yeah, Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Chris on that. Going into it, I was super excited for House of the Dragon, and I was excited for Rings of Power, but I think that they both exceeded my expectations, and I almost thought that one would have to rise above the other, that they couldn't stand together. But I really do think that they complement each other really well. It's like the yin and the yang. I really liken it. My favorite would be House of the Dragon, then probably Rings of Power. Andor is really good. I'm enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it more because it's like lacking the Star Wars-ness of it. And maybe if it starts to dive more into like the Skywalker saga and that kind of stuff, I'd be more out on it. I just started She-Hulk and I am really enjoying it. It might be one of my favorite MCU TV shows that they've been doing it, but yeah, I can definitely see it. Wow. It can get tiring.
Zach, so if you see a lightsaber in Andor, is that's just like an immediate downgrade on the show?
No, I'm pro lightsaber, but if we start caring about if like Vader's in it and we start hearing about like a Skywalker or Jedi prophecy, that kind of stuff, if there's some like Easter eggs and cameos and things like conflict, like there's conflict with the canon, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the thing, she should, but
I think she might. But I was gonna say, I think we've seen a lightsaber in Andor.
You think that pole that the guy was holding? I was thinking about that too. I don't think it is, but it was definitely like supposed to look like a lightsaber.
I think it might be.
I agree with you guys for the most part. I mean, I think House of Dragon is the best one on right now. I think Rings of Power is the one I'm looking forward to, where it's going the most. And then Andor, I think, has the absolute highest potential and could possibly be the best thing that Disney Plus has put out so far. Just from what
She-Hulk?
I'm really enjoying She-Hulk, but to say it's the best thing in the MCU is a wild state, or the best show in the MCU is a. I mean, yeah, I don't know how far you are, but this last episode was maybe the worst thing I've ever seen. So this most recent episode,
I've only watched the first episode. I haven't seen anything past that.
I think I'm like episode four right now, but
yeah, episode six is utter and complete junk. But up until that point, I was really enjoying it. As far as content overload goes, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because these are all properties that, you know, Star Wars is my absolute favorite property. Wheel of Time is something that I'm really invested in right now because I'm reading through the series. Like House, you know, Game of Thrones obviously is one of our favorites, and so same with Lord of the Rings. But I feel like we're just pushing shit out just to have content on these sites now. We're not actually like trying to make good shows for the most part. It's just to have content. I think the few that we've talked about are maybe outliers of that because they put so much money into them, but overall I think we're just getting way too much content right now, and all of it is just based on books, so they're just
oversaturated. And we gotta make some room for Brandon Sanderson, who's been working on some adaptations, and you can't just if you throw Mistborn into this overinflated fantasy market, the bubble's going to burst. You know, I'm not sure. It'd be tough. It'd be tough for Mistborn. Nobody knows about Mistborn like they do Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings can come in and it's an established IP. The same with Star Wars, and even like Andor, you know, Andor, it's its own story, but it's under this other massive IP umbrella. So it's almost protected a little bit. It has that name brand, but I don't think they can all survive. I think Wheel of Time is probably about to fall off.
And yeah, unless they come back strong. I still haven't finished the first season because I'm trying not to get ahead of the books. But
I think that's telling. Oh, okay, never mind. Not because of the quality.
Well, also the quality. I watched the first two episodes and it was I think I fell asleep like halfway through the second episode. I was pretty bored, and they changed some fundamental things. That's the thing. If they're going to make these these literature or literary IP into different mediums, they need to not change fundamental things about the show. That's the biggest fucking thing that's like really taking me out or putting me off from some of this stuff, is them just changing some of the fundamentals. I don't know. I'm out on more content. I like what we have now, but I don't like to watch TV every single night of the week, and that's kind of what it's becoming. So
yeah, it's been a lot.
It's turning out to be.
What about the newest episode of Hot D with the new actresses? How do you guys feel about that? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Zach, I don't know. What'd you think?
I really like the new people that they have. The adult Rhaenyra and the adult Alicent. I thought they're both like really, really good. And I hope people give them a chance too. I know everyone really liked young Rhaenyra, and I saw some people like not looking forward to the actor swap. I just hope everyone kind of gives them a couple episodes to grow into it. But I was blown away. Even just like the opening scene with, I won't spoil it too much, but just like Rhaenyra, just like right after she gives birth and her just like walking to meet the queen. Like I thought she did such like a great job, I thought they did such a great job like acting wise with that. I was really impressed by them. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean the cast that they had originally was perfect. So I kind of get why people were a little bummed out that we lost them after five episodes. But the people that they came in to replace them, the new actors, are also all incredible. So I don't think we're really missing a whole lot from that transition. And I'm really looking forward to what's coming up.
Yeah, I would say I actually have a little bit of criticism with this newest episode. It felt a little disjointed for me, and this, you know, it could just be the actresses, but I think the biggest issue I had was the difference of portrayal in Alicent from young Alicent and old Alicent. I think they seem like completely different characters to me. Young Alicent had this like warmth about her. She at least was a little bit sympathetic, and old Alicent lost any sort of sympathy that I had for young Alicent, like pretty quick. I know it's been 10 years, but I didn't see any of like basically she got mad that Rhaenyra lied to her, and now she's just a huge, you know, B. And I missed all that character development. I'm not saying that Olivia Coleman or Olivia. I don't know.
It's Olivia Cook.
Olivia Cook. I'm not saying Olivia Cook is doing a bad job. They just don't seem like the same character to me. Where I think Rhaenyra is, there seems like a little more of a straight line with her. But I feel like we missed out on a lot of stuff here. Daemon, you know, when did he become so sour? You know, he's like sad after 10 years, but we didn't get to see any of that. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed.
Well, I think that was like a device of the show was, you know, all of their major character changes came in that fifth episode. And then the next 10 years was basically them just stewing in that major character development and then becoming like exaggerated examples of what they were in that first five episodes. So I get what you're saying. I actually thought that way with Rhaenyra right away. But then as the episode went, I was like, okay, this seems like Rhaenyra now. Alicent, I don't know. I hate her in general. So she's a terrible, terrible human. So I thought from the five to six, I thought her personality stayed the same, but it got destroyed in like episode four. She got the world beat her down for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think she's stressed too. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Well, I think it's the conversation that she
had. Her dad moved away, and her friend, who's not been her friend in 3 years, lied to her.
She has to have sex with Viserys.
Yeah, but she's been having sex with Viserys, you know? That didn't change in that moment.
But now his arm is falling off and his back is turning into a fucking sandcastle. Like,
he looks disgusting. He looks so
really
bad.
Gross. I think Alicent is more worried about her kids. We had that scene with her and Aemon, when she was just like, they're going to kill you. Like, if Rhaenyra actually becomes queen, she will kill you because you're a threat to like her throne. So for me, I can kind of see Alicent's point of why she's acting the way she is, because she's just like, I either need to do something or we're gonna have to like beg for Rhaenyra's like forgiveness and like be on her side. But as long as my son's alive, that is like a challenge to the throne, and Rhaenyra is not gonna like that. So I think that's why she's like super stressed.
Yeah, I get why she's stressed. We just didn't see any of this character development.
in one episode, her dad is yelling at her for this, and the next episode, she's yelling at her kid for that. But we didn't see her ever change her mind about it.
I don't know. I like the time skip. I think that it skipped through 10 years of probably like just the same character development we got in those first five episodes. So they set the characters up well. They gave us reasons for why they're acting how they are. Yada, yada, all the, you know, life as normal, and then gave us, you know, the end result of those large developments in their life. So,
but we didn't even get to see her meet Harwin. And then he's just dead in the next episode.
We kind of did.
But yeah, like, we didn't get to see them meet, fall in love, and have three kids, which, and you know, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine with the time skip too. It's necessary. It had to happen. But the last thing Harwin ever did was his dad told him to go pick up Rhaenyra. And the next thing you know, they have three kids. And they're apparently, I don't know, do they love each other? Do they not love each other? Like, what's going on there? We have no clue. And then he just dies. You know, I would like to see something there.
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree on that one. I thought it was a useful use of the device. But, I mean, they definitely could have made the whole season just about this, and then season two would be picking up after the time skip. But eventually they're going to have to do a time skip to give us actually development, because we can't have Rhaenyra as a 14-year-old girl trying to rule the kingdom.
I agree. I had to do the time skip. I just didn't think it worked. However they did it, it just didn't totally work for me.
Well, hopefully it works for you next episode. Maybe it'll come along. Maybe we'll come around to it. I mean, overall, though, the show is exceeding expectations in a large part just because of the way Game of Thrones left us in a fucking dark place. But now we're back, no, baby.
I don't want you guys to get the impression that I'm like super sour on the show. It's just like I had a couple issues with this episode, and I still think the show is fantastic. I'm still all in on it. I'm not out on it in any way, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's not going to be perfect either. Time skips are always hard, and they're usually bad.
And they've done a lot of them. They've done a lot of time skips, you know? I think it's just kind of part of the story they have to tell.
Yeah, they want to tell the history of, you know, the history of all of this. You got to skip
it. It's like
around.
What? It's like 40 years, the whole thing, more? I don't know.
I think it's more than that, but
yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to skip us through all of that. We'll see. So it'll be season two. Maybe there'll be another time skip. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I think that's all we had today. We'll be back next week with a regular episode. We'll be covering a two-part episode with Shadow of the Gods, which is the second book of Hunger of the Gods. So join us for that one. If you didn't catch the first episode, go check that out. We're going to be doing these kind of just short form news podcasts every other week, and then or every other Tuesday, and then our normal podcast will be on the off weeks of on those Tuesdays as well. So we'll have an episode coming out every week. Rate and subscribe, listen to anything you haven't listened to yet. We have a Twitter as well. Go check that out. We're commenting and trying to stick up to date with fantasy news. But yeah, catch us next week. We'll see you then. And don't forget to skip the side quests.